You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show. Second hour of tonight's live broadcast. James Edwards and Keith Alexander. This is our post-election
meltdown.
Keith said it's our post-election meltdown. Our post-election breakdown, anyway.
Foggy Mountain breakdown.
Yeah. Okay, so good first hour, Keith. Thank you. And we covered a lot of our hot takes and takeaways, opinion, analysis, commentary, the likes
hot
of which
takes
you
on a
are
hot mess.
Not going to get anywhere else on the AM radio dial. That much I can tell you. I want to say hello to John in California. Just got an email from John, who's listening out in California tonight, and he received one of our mugs for supporting that very special TPC anniversary drive that we did, one weekend only. Now, our fourth quarter, our Christmas fundraiser drive, is going to kick off December 1st. I've already got the incentives in. I'm not going to tell you what they are yet, but you're going to love it. They're on their way to me right now, and so we're going to roll out that TPC Christmas fundraising drive. The quarterly fundraising drive, the fourth quarter, starts December 1st, and I'm excited about it.
Don't let Santa show up with an empty sack, folks.
That's right. Put a little something in our stockings, too, my friends. But I do want to thank everybody who donated on our anniversary weekend, and we sent out a whole lot of mugs the last couple of days, and you should be getting them, if you haven't received them already, by the early part of next week, our international donors, a little later. So we are breaking down the midterm elections. Brad Griffin over at Occidental Dissent had a post that had a variety of bullet points, some hot takes. We'll go through them very quickly. We're going to cycle through these very quickly. Keith, I'll bring them up. You spike them down in about 30 seconds or less. First, Brad does note that there was no blue wave. Obama lost 6 Senate seats and 63 House seats in the 2010 midterms. Trump won at least 3 Senate seats and lost about 35 House seats. It was not a blue wave. It was a ripple. Not as bad. Trump did better than expected for a midterm president by any standard of measurement.
And even more than that, even when we didn't win a seat, we replaced a flake like Jeff Flake or Bob Corker or John McCain with someone who is going
That's
to be
a
reliable vote.
We listen to all the cucks that are no longer in office through death or retirement or being voted out. Jeff Flake, John McCain, Bob Corker, Paul Ryan. Now, we did pick up Romney in Utah, which is a shame, but a lot of cucks went bye-bye.
Romney ought to be the poster child for Wilmot Robertson's category of Grackite, G-R-A-C-C-H-I-T-E. Brad also wrote about that. He had a little article on that in Occidental Dissent that I would recommend you visit for an in-depth analysis on that. But see, this is what is happening. The South is the most reliably Republican part of the electorate. Trump always comes to the South when he wants to get big crowds and enthusiastic crowds, people that are totally on his side. But where's the payoff? Where are the people in his administration from the South? Roy Moore was treated like a redheaded stepchild at the family reunion, but I tell you what, if he would like to have a really strong as Garrett Snuff attorney general, that's who he ought to go for. That guy would have no clue.
Oh, no, that's
him at
a
all.
Dream.
I'm just telling you.
But I'm just saying that would be my dream, and I say that affectionately. Of course, he's not going to do it, but that would be a guy I'd put in.
But
there.
On the other hand, Jewish people from the Acela Corridor, that's that bullet train that runs from D.C. to Boston, those people, I mean, they're bulletproof. There's been only
they
one.
They can actively sabotage him and not get fired.
Well, look at Rod Rosenstein. He's done 10 times more damage to the Republican presidency than Jeff Sessions even imagined having, but Trump goes out and plays pussyfoot with him. He has nothing but kind words to say. Trump is either the dumbest guy in the world regarding Jewish power and influence, or else he's scared to death of it and won't even allow himself to think a negative thought about it.
My vote is the latter on which one of those two options it is.
Look, Gary Cohn is the only Jewish guy that was appointed to a position by Trump that has quit the administration, and he did it of his own volition. Has he fired any of them? Nope. I hear the crickets chirping in the background. He's not going to and never will. But every time he hires one, he's hiring a potential fifth columnist because Jewish people are the most liberal part of the white population.
And by the way,
and liberals hate Trump.
And we talked about blacks voting 98% for Abrams and Gillum. Jewish voters voted 80% Democrat plus.
Well, that's typical. 80%.
But you see all this pandering for 10% of the blacks we talk about. What about all the pandering for 1%? But of course, that 1% finances both parties.
Yeah, Jews are 1% to 2% of the population, but they're over one-third of the 400 richest Americans. They're over one-third of the student body at Harvard and Yale. And Harvard and Yale is what Pat Buchanan calls the breeding stables of America's elite.
That's the 1% that can get something done for you.
Well, they're the people that can get positions like Paul Wolfowitz's or Richard Perles and people like that in the government. Now, if he would get people from red state America, from flyover country, and put them in those positions, he'd have people that were reliable, and they're just as smart. You know, that's one thing that Ron Unz, who is Jewish himself, put out in the American Conservative. They are just as smart because they predominate in the numbers of National Merit Scholarship winners. But for some reason, they're always overlooked either for Jewish or for Asian candidates in places like Harvard and Yale.
Speaking of cucks, Keith, we were talking about we lost some of them, thankfully. They lost across the board, by and large. Quite a few cucks lost. While, as Brad writes, Trump put Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis over the top. Romney won Utah. That was the exception to the rule.
Josh Walker in Missouri that beat Claire McCaskill.
And here's another good point Brad brings up. Trump labeled Gillum a thief, and Stacey Abrams was hit with ruthless attacks over burning the Georgia state flag and her armed Black Panther supporters. The GOP played the race card there, to their credit, and they defeated two Black Democrats rather than cucking out at the last minute. That's not what Jeb Bush or Mitt Romney would have done.
Well, see, then on the other hand, it's just what I was saying earlier. Trump campaigns like a white nationalist, but when he gets elected and when the election is over, he governs as a fiscal conservative. And if we can make his actions more consonant with his rhetoric in the campaigns, it will do nothing but make America a better place.
Of the candidates we actually like, Steve King won, but he didn't win by much. It was his most hotly contested re-election bid.
Did Trump ever come to Iowa to help Steve King?
I didn't see him up there.
I don't think so. What is it about this?
Steve King is by far. I want to say this. Steve King takes us as far as you can take it and win. And I don't think Steve King would have won in the North, South, East, or West with his rhetoric had he not been an incumbent. This is one takeaway that I've had.
He's a real McCoy.
David Duke can't win an election right now. Trump can. Trump says a lot of the same things that Duke says, but he is not an explicit white identitarian. America, and we need to grow up. White America needs to grow up, and they need to embrace identity politics, but they're not there yet. Somebody like Steve King really takes it about as far as you can take and still win elections. We need to get over that.
We understand that, and we can forgive that. We don't, you know, trying to be a tough guy that comes out with guns blazing on everything is just a way to get shot out of the water.
Yeah, we need to run and win, and we need to govern and cast our votes accordingly. But in order to win elections, you don't have to damn the torpedoes and act foolish. We'll be right back.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Keith just cracked me up during the commercial break. Keith, share with the audience what you imparted upon me.
We're talking about Trump and building the wall. I said if he waits any longer to build the wall, we'll be walling more Mexicans in than we'll be keeping them out from America.
We're going to wall them all in. They won't be able to go back home. We're going to have more in than they do in Mexico.
That's it. Central Americans, too. But see, third world people have third world ways. That's another corollary to our comment that you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And one of the ways of third worlders is electoral fraud. That's another thing is expecting government employment to be an excuse for them to get freebies from the government to get money and whatnot. And that's what's expected. And if we want to transform America into a third world locale, that's the way to do it, James. We've got to stop this before basically our inheritance of this wonderful nation that was carved out of the wilderness for us by our forefathers is gone forever. And when it goes, it will be like Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men will never put it back together again.
A few more takeaways. Democrat hysteria, I'm reading from Occidental Descent, Democrat hysteria over Kavanaugh played a huge role in the Category 5 blue wave being downgraded to a Category 1 blue ripple.
And so likewise, the other thing is that caravan was another godsend.
Well, it says it right here. So did Trump's attacks on the caravan using Antifa to portray Democrats as violent, unhinged, threatening mob. That rhetoric worked on a lot of people who are sick of open borders and Antifa. I just wish Trump would actually do something more than talk about it. But I tell you, here's another thing. Talk about the Supreme Court. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 85 years old. She just fell and broke some ribs. Now, she'll stay on at this point.
They will put her on life support if they can for 4 years, if necessary, rather than give up.
Have you ever had to remove a Supreme Court justice due to senility?
I don't believe so. It would be.
But there's no way any of those left swing votes.
Ask Pat Buchanan. He knows everything about that. He will point to it. If it has ever happened, Pat knows about it. But see,
there's no way any of those liberals on the Supreme Court will leave, no matter what.
No,
not anymore.
Ruth Bader Gibson, Ginsburg, excuse me, looks like death eating a cracker. She's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, but. She will hang on until the bitter end, and they will make sure that she does, rather than give Trump another opportunity to put a conservative on the court. We've got to, though, on the other hand, is it asking too much to have a right-wing conservative that is just as much of an activist of undoing the damage that the left has done over the past 65 years on America through the Supreme Court to be an activist in terms of, you know, we've had Obama saying change America. I'm waiting for the candidate or for the Supreme Court that wants to change America back.
Well, we've covered a lot. Still more to cover, but over some final thoughts at OD, Brad writes, nothing unexpected happened. He writes that it has to be a huge anticlimax, though, for the left. After 2 years of having a collective mental breakdown, Americans were supposed to rise up and send Trump a firm message, but Beto, Gillum, and Abrams all lost. They lost for now. That's what I keep saying. We got to keep visiting
two to four weeks.
Well, you're right. Yeah. Now, they very well could. In 2 weeks, that could change. But I'm saying in 2 to 4 years, if you don't secure the border and start millions of deportations, forget about it. And they're not going to do it. I don't think that's going to happen now.
What Trump needs to do is, one, be serious about redistricting and, you know, don't listen to the timid souls that would advise moderation. Go after it as strong from our standpoint as the left would if they were in power, redistricting. And the second thing is hire people from flyover country, and particularly the South, for key positions in your administration. Then you won't have to worry about having a fifth columnist behind your wall.
People have made mention of the fact that Mia Love lost. Cucking gets you nowhere. So she cucked against Trump, as so many did. A lot of cucks lost. And as you said, in some of the races where Republicans held on to the seats, they reinforced their position with some stronger people.
They got stronger medicine than they had before in that position. You know, somebody like Jeff Flake was truly a rhino, a Republican in name only. He would vote with the Democrats probably 80% of the time, and that would be a conservative estimate. He's been replaced. You know, Marshall Blackburn in Tennessee, for example, isn't my favorite candidate.
But she's better than Corker.
Yeah, she's much better than Corker. She's a big improvement, and that's what you've typically got. Now, what's going to happen in that Arizona race with that leftist?
McSally?
Yeah, McSally versus what was her, what's that other person's name? The leftist? Kirsten Sinema, yeah, right, a Sinema star. Well, anyway, that's what we need. We need to come strong. We cannot back up. You know, this is like the election between Gore and Bush, where Florida was, you know, under intense pressure to cave in, and they didn't because they had a strong Secretary of State who was in charge of the election. In Florida, I forget what that person's name was, but they're the person that stood like Horatio at the bridge and prevented the Democrats from stealing the election. Democrats will steal the election. Make no doubt, let there be no doubt in your mind about that. They will do it. That's their, in fact, you can predict them doing that in any election that they lose that is anywhere near close.
Yeah, it's like was said, they find boxes of hidden ballots, and the lawyers start parachuting in, and you got a fight on your hands. But bottom line is,
it's like zombies, or the people rise from the dead and start voting again.
Most people believe, conventional wisdom suggests, that the party that's not in power retakes, if not Congress, at least one of the two branches. And that's what happened in the House. They didn't retake the Senate. But what should be taken from this can be demonstrated in the fact that Florida and Texas literally came down to the wire. Demographic tide continues to come ashore slowly, but steadily in a way that can't be stopped unless people get serious about it. The Republicans had better get serious about it. So at the very least, what we're looking at now, Keith, whole lot of nothing except gridlock as we move towards the 2020 presidential election, which, of course, begins in earnest. In about 2 months, they'll start campaigning for that.
One thing that you can do in the Senate, and assuming that we hold on to a majority in the Senate, he needs to go full speed ahead on all of his judicial nominations. The Senate is the group that votes on federal judges, not the House. And he needs to go and get every last man jack.
Well, that's been written
those
about
people
too.
In,
that's right, and that could happen
as soon as possible. And it's get them all in. Don't let the sun set on an empty judgeship. If you, an empty judgeship comes in, put some good conservative from red state America or from flyover country in there, and make sure that he takes his vitamins and gets all sorts of medical treatment so he has a long and productive life.
Well, the Marcus Cicero, also at Occidental Descent, I don't know if it's the Marcus Cicero, but he writes that the Democratic House and Republican Senate will continue to trade jabs and blustering rhetoric while all the wild ground will continue to be ceded to the hordes. That's a black pill estimation, but it's not unfounded. Keith, what do you think the best case, other than stacking judicial seats, what's the best thing that can come out of the next 2 years with the political landscape currently looking as it does?
Redistricting all those Democrats in urban areas in red state America out of existence. That would basically give us a permanent majority in the House of Representatives.
What's the most realistic best case scenario? Because, like I said, I just don't see the Republicans doing that.
I know there is no realistic good. Basically, if Trump doesn't buy a network or his allies don't buy a network, a news network that can be reliably pro-Trump, and if he doesn't build the wall, basically when all is said and done, more will be said than done.
Keith Alexander, thanks for your shift tonight, folks. He's gonna take the rest of the evening off. We got Sean Bergen coming up next. We're going to talk about Trump versus the media as we head into the next 2 years of his first term. Keith, thank you so much for giving us your wisdom and your talent tonight.
My pleasure to be here. As always, James, keep the faith, brother.
Talk to you next week.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we hope you've been enjoying TPC's breakdown of the Election Day fallout, the midterm Election Day fallout last Tuesday. We've been giving you our hot takes on it, and I want to shift our attention now ever so slightly to the media. I guess these things are interrelated, but the media, specifically Trump's, the confrontation that was had recently between CNN's Jim Acosta and Donald Trump. Now, when I saw this story and then later watched the video, I thought this would just be a perfect reason to bring Sean Bergen back on the show, as if we ever need a good reason. Any reason's a good reason. But Sean is uniquely has a unique perspective on a story like this, having been in the mainstream media news in the biggest market in the world, the New York, New Jersey metropolitan market. So Sean can at once give us the take from somebody who has had these mainstream credentials and also somebody who is a genuine conservative and a good guy, which most of his contemporaries, at least at CNN, certainly can't say. So, Sean, you watched this. What are your takeaways?
Well, I mean, Jim Acosta has earned a reputation as being the circus clown of the White House press corps. And this was, looked to me like his piece de resistance. It was just about as bad as anything I've ever seen. Jim Acosta has the emotional development of a 5-year-old. He's narcissistic, self-absorbed in the extreme. He thinks he's there to ask tough questions. He never asks tough questions. He just tries to engage the president or the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, in a fight. And this, what I saw at the White House, going back and forth with the president, was the last straw. I am happy to announce that I just read here within the last couple of hours that Acosta's press credentials have now been revoked. They were first suspended, and now he's gone. He's not going to be in the White House any longer. That was just an abysmal, just a deplorable display of narcissistic self-absorption. It's all about me routine. That's the way he's carried on. Now, what I found particularly glaring was the fact that all of his colleagues in the
yes.
media came to his defense, but virtually none of them came to the defense of Tucker Carlson. After Antifa descended on his home while his wife was home alone and engaging in and basically held a mini riot outside the guy's house, I didn't see anybody from the mainstream media coming to Tucker Carlson's defense. So this really just demonstrates clearly just a glaring contrast on how our corrupt media, handles, one of their own as opposed to a guy like Tucker Carlson. The disparity, the duplicitousness, duplicity just it could not be more glaring, and just yet another glaring example of how corrupt our news media is.
You threw a couple of haymakers right there, a ton to go back and revisit, Sean. Of course, yes, Acosta. So if you don't know what we're talking about, Jim Acosta of CNN, front row at a White House press conference, there with Donald Trump, just a few feet away. Acosta, Sam said Acosta accosted the intern. That's a tongue twister. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
But so he's behaving unprofessionally. He refuses to surrender the mic, continues to ask more questions than he's allowed over and over and over. The woman comes up. He brushes her to the side. And before we go back to the Tucker Carlson thing, which I think is even more significant, yes, and I want to talk about the fact that this guy is now being held as a hero, as if he's Alvin York, that he's charging the machine gun nest, that they're acting like this guy's the bravest, most sincere, admirable individual that's ever held a press credential.
Oh, yeah, like a total martyr for, journalistic, for their brand of journalism. Me as a reporter, if I had ever conducted myself like that in any kind of a press conference, whether it was Chuck Schumer or Congressman Peter King, I would be fired immediately. And I don't think anybody in the press corps would come to my defense if I behaved that way, especially especially if it was toward a Democrat politician. Could you imagine somebody from Fox News coming on to Barack Obama in that manner? Forget about it. They'd be outside ready to burn down the building.
Oh, absolutely. There's just no doubt about it. And it's not just that many of his contemporaries have come to his defense. The network itself, CNN, issued a full-throated defense of his behavior. And, of course, that's to be expected.
Yeah. Well, hey, look, yeah, it's what we've come to expect from our corrupt media. They lose viewers every day. If you took CNN out of airports and hotels, they would cease to exist. They get their ratings because they have basically held hostage. You know, CNN is what you watch when your flight gets delayed and you're stuck in the airport for 3 hours because you have no choice.
That is true. I can tell you that the last several times I've ever seen CNN was at airport. You don't lie, Sean. That's yeah, for sure. But now here's a serious
on the back of a cab.
Here is a serious question, though, and it's something that Sam Bushman brings up quite a bit. There is no doubt that I think that this rift between Trump and the establishment press, the controlled press, is sincere. Now, some people would say Trump's just playing a game. They're all in on it together. I don't necessarily believe that. I do believe that there's genuine bad blood there. But Sam brings this up all the time. Trump quite rightly refers to these people as fake news. But yet he still gives the access to them. Now, I'm not saying, okay, he should be giving it to us. But why not build up a new media? Why not build up some of these YouTubers that have huge followings or independent radio networks? Don't take me. Take Sam Bushman. Take you, Sean Bergen, a true professional. Why is Trump continuing to allow any of these people? And we saw it with the other woman, the black woman. All of these people hate him. It's nothing but confrontation. Why won't he bring in his own media and say, if you want to know what's going on in the Trump administration, you're not going to get it through fake news. They're all disallowed. You're going to get it through this new media, and here are my guys. Why not something like that? Now, they don't have to be his guys in that. Obviously, the left writes nothing. Universally, it's all negative. There's never a good article about Trump. But these people don't have to be echo chambers. These people could be legitimate independent journalists that will agree when there's something, or just, for God forbid, write the facts, who, what, where, when, and why, like a journalist should do. Why not something like that?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that when Trump first took office, about shaking up the White House press corps, maybe going more of what you're talking about, that kind of route. We saw Mike Cernovich actually in the White House press briefing room, where he was actually taking on all the other journalists about their failure to cover Antifa. I'm not sure what happened with that. And, you know, here's the thing. If the president needs to get his message out to the public, social media is only going to take him so far. You know, not everybody in the country is on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. A lot of these people rely on, and a lot of people don't even have cable TV. They're relying on the major networks to get that out. So I think for that reason, you're kind of stuck with them for the time being. He has, however, done a tremendous job in delegitimizing by confronting them and confronting them right to their face. And that has only served to strengthen and rally his base. And I think more and more people are becoming aware of just how one-sided and corrupt our news media is thanks to that. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I can understand why you would say that. And I agree with you. I think he should be bringing in other news outlets other than the major networks and the major cable outfits to help balance that out, because these press briefings have turned into like a sideshow. It's where for posturing peacock narcissistic journalists to grandstand, and Acosta really took the cake. So when the people see that kind of behavior, the media kind of delegitimizes themselves. And when you have Trump pointing the guy out and say, you're a horrible person, sit down, it's a disgrace that CNN even hires you, he wouldn't have that opportunity to delegitimize the media if he banned them from the room completely.
Sean, you make an outstanding point. That was actually something that my co-host said to me when we were talking about it at lunch the other day. Of course, I do wish that Trump would develop more alternative media. I guess there's only so much you can do when you are, in fact, the sitting president. We talk about he should make a Trump News Network. Well, there's only so much you can do when you're in the office itself. Maybe after his election or after his second term, if he's reelected, maybe something can happen down the road. But you, you said something that is 100% accurate in that Trump does allow the media to have this rope with which they hang themselves. I mean, by giving them this access and then watching their antics and watching their disgusting stories, Trump could come up to the microphone and say, you know what, guys, I believe water's wet. And the headline would read, Trump says racist statement. So I think there is something to that. I think they have done more to delegitimize themselves in the public's eye than we could have ever done. So stay tuned there, everybody. When we come back, I want to dive a little bit deeper into this situation with Antifa and Tucker Carlson. Sean will give us all the details. We'll be right back.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, one more segment with the incomparable Sean Bergen. We're talking about the media right now. We talked in the previous segment about Trump and CNN, specifically Jim Acosta. But now, Sean touched on it. I want to look at it a little more extensively now. Sean, break down what happened between this Antifa mob and Tucker Carlson of Fox News?
Well, from what I can gather, this particular Antifa mob was led by a guy named Michael Isaacson. Now, you may remember Isaacson. He was the pencil neck geek who was the college professor at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice, who was putting out anti-cop tweets. He subsequently lost his job there as a result. I mean, he was putting tweets out like, all pigs should die, it's good to kill the cops. This guy is a professor at a college where they train America's premier law enforcement college, basically. And this is the kind of tweets he's putting out. So he later lost his job. Tucker Carlson had him on Fox News in a debate. Of course, Tucker Carlson totally eviscerated the guy. He's one of the best debaters in the business, Tucker Carlson. So this guy rounded up his Antifa buddies and decided that he'd hold a little mini riot, a little rent-a-riot outside of Tucker Carlson's house while he was away. Tucker Carlson's wife was at home, had to hide in a closet and call 911. Now, these punks also engaged in their usual property destruction, vandalism, defacing private property. And that's really the long and short of it. Now, the former attorney general under George Bush, Michael Mukasey, said that there is a very clear-cut RICO case here. And by that, the RICO is the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act that was written into law back in the 70s for the purpose of taking on the mafia. Rudy Giuliani, as a former U.S. attorney, actually used the RICO statutes to great effect in dismantling the New York mob. So that's could be something that we could be looking at. Thankfully, Twitter finally banned some Antifa. I think this particular Antifa organization from Twitter took them long enough. You know, I say one wrong word and I'm, you know, putting in Twitter jail for 30 days. These guys are out, you know, hosting riots outside. Talk about threatening the free press. That is a real threat of the free press. You know, all these screaming liberals who were talking about how Jim Acosta's, his First Amendment rights are being infringed upon and blah, blah, blah. All these people are, like, strangely silent after seeing and what happened to Tucker Carlson. And there's no comparison between the two. There's a big difference between having your press card suspended and showing up, in a threatening manner on somebody's front doorstep. And they cannot make that distinction. They are just unable to do it. Any clear-eyed adult looking at that situation would say, this is completely and totally unacceptable. But, you know, what do we hear from the media on Tucker Carlson? Crickets, while we have this, like, manufactured outrage that somehow Jim Acosta's, civil rights have been violated. I mean, it is so pathetic and such a joke. And the fact that they can't see it or they can see it and they don't care is just, it's just sickening to watch day in and day out. It just doesn't seem to get any better.
And of course, your perspective on this matter is so unique, having been in that business as a professional. And again, let's draw the comparison, ladies and gentlemen. So you have in one voice speaking in unison, as they always do, the entirety of the establishment press, seemingly, obviously not every single person, coming to the defense of Jim Acosta. Pat Buchanan wrote, "The White House is the president's house, not the press's house. He had his press credentials revoked for bad behavior." They all came to his defense as if he had been martyred on the public square. In the meantime, you have Tucker Carlson, a good guy by all accounts. A mob visits his home, rings the doorbell, starts chanting and doing all the things that they're wont to do. His wife's hiding in the closet. And outside of Sean, us tonight, and then a couple of his colleagues on Fox News, I certainly haven't seen anybody from CNN or MSNBC coming to the defense of Tucker and issuing a stern statement or a story or an article or a commentary on radio or television saying how awful it is that this behavior was visited upon his house.
Yeah.
And I don't guess that we will.
Glaring. No. I mean, don't hold your breath waiting for that one. Listen, they're going to move on to the next story anyway. So that's the other thing, is that Jim Acosta is like, this is where real bias comes in. When you talk about liberal bias, it often comes in the form of the stories that are chosen to be covered, the stories that are chosen not to be covered, and the emphasis and repetition they place on those stories they choose to cover. Jim Acosta has turned into a four-day story, while Tucker Carlson's incident is like 10 minutes. Well, we mentioned it, we covered it, and it's gone, you know?
Wait, Sean, you bring up another interesting
aspect of this is the potential for RICO laws to be enforced here. It's easy for us to be Monday morning quarterback. It's easy for us to criticize and to say what we would do. I say that, listen, you look at these states like Georgia and Florida. If you don't secure the border now, those states turn blue. The Republicans can kiss any hope of ever winning the presidency goodbye, and they hang by a razor-thin margin. But another thing that I think Trump hasn't done, in addition to building the wall, that was my point, is he has great rhetoric against Antifa. He says all the right things, but I'd like to see somebody lower the hammer on these guys for breaking the law, not because we disagree with their politics, because they are absolutely breaking the law. Sean, what would have happened, and how much news attention would it have gotten had it been me, you, Sam Bushman, and a few of our friends going to the home of a reporter we don't like and pulling the same stunt?
We would be on the front page of every newspaper in America. We'd be the lead story on every major news network, and we would be on a running loop on CNN and MSNBC around the clock.
Now, of course, it goes without saying we would never engage in that behavior, but Sean answered the question. Honestly, that is exactly what would happen. And so, again, the comparison is stark. The difference is stark. But I ask you, Sean, why is not Trump and whoever's going to be his next AG, they really need to go after this mob mentality, because it's only going to become emboldened. Now, we've seen a lot of the Black Lives Matter shenanigans. They have been quieted down under the Trump administration, whereas they were rioting, it seemed, every week during the last year or two of Obama's administration, at least every other month. I mean, literally. But now it's been the rise of Antifa for the last couple of years, and they haven't really been subjected to any legal repercussions that I've seen.
Yeah, but I don't think that day is very far off. You know, we have just had a change in the guard with Jeff Sessions having stepped down. This new guy, Whitaker, who's the acting AG, is tough as nails, eats nails for breakfast. We have to, I guess, see who the next AG is going to be and how he's going to prioritize that. But those days are not far off. Antifa is not going to be around forever. And when you have a guy like Mukasey, who's just a brilliant legal mind, coming out saying, yeah, we've got a clear RICO case here, I think that whoever steps in as the next AG, whether it's Trey Gowdy or Chris Christie or Lindsey Graham, who seems to have grown a spine in the last 3 months, that Antifa's days are going to be numbered not long after that.
He has. That's true. And, okay, so we'll see, and we'll hope. Sean, with only a couple of minutes remaining, you're 120-second take on the midterms and what the next 2 years are going to look like.
First we have to get through the obvious election fraud that is happening right now, right in front of our eyes in Florida. Looks like the same situation is happening in Arizona and quite possibly Georgia. So I think the voter fraud that we see in play right now is going to set the stage for passing voter ID laws. That will basically destroy the Democrat Party over the next couple of years. You put in place voter fraud laws where people have to start showing IDs. I mean, you have Gillum and Nelson in Florida right now saying that they want the ballots of illegal aliens to be counted in this election. This, and they're blaring. I mean, they're in your face about it now. They're in your face about the voter fraud. So this is going to set the stage, I think, for voter ID laws passed. And once that happens, forget about it. The Democrats are toast, because they can't win without cheating.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. And of course, you know what the headline's going to read. What one letter, what one word that begins with an R are they going to call voter ID laws? Something as simple as making everyone, man, woman, black, white, whatever, show an ID across the board, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, you show an ID. But what are they going to call it?
Racism, schmacism.
That's coming, but it's just common sense. Why? Now, I got carded when I went to vote. I didn't feel like I had.
You can't buy a beer without getting carded. You can't go to the bank without getting carded. You can't board a plane or a train or a bus without getting carded. I mean, you have to present ID to do just about everything in our society except for voting. That is just setting the stage for voter fraud. That is all that is.
Sean, I don't think we could have ended this hour on any more compelling of a line that you said. You're 100% correct. You show ID for everything, but it's somehow untoward or violent. I didn't feel like my civil rights were violated when the nice little old lady who asked for my ID when I showed up to vote on Tuesday, I presented it. She smiled. I smiled. I thanked her. She thanked me. I went and voted. No big deal, unless you're up to something. Am I right?
You can't get a document notarized without presenting the guy with an ID.
Well, I hope, hey, I tell you what, they better do it, and they better do it fast, because if this continues, Florida goes blue, Georgia goes blue, Texas with Cruz, Ted Cruz, an entrenched incumbent, barely won Texas. What's going on down there? So,
well, what's
I'm telling you.
You have all these liberal Democrats fleeing blue states like California to go to Texas for the sole purpose of turning it blue. They're like locust states. They just swarm in and destroy everything they do.
There you go. One of your best segments yet, Sean, and you're up against some tough company in your previous segments. We love you, brother. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
Saturday night.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Third hour coming up next.
Radio Network.